You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. The internet is revolutionizing our lives in profound ways. One of the areas that will benefit from this digital revolution would be healthcare. And today we are going to look into telemedicine and how its economics stand out for the medical landscape. Joining our panel today are Jeffrey Ibrahim, CEO of the Collaborative Research in Engineering, Science and Technology, otherwise known as CREST, which is a not-for-profit organization that represents the electronics and electrical industry. And also Dr. Wong Chi Piao, lead of telemedicine cluster with the Monash University. Dr. Wong, I would like to start with you. Can you just start by telling us what exactly is telemedicine?
I think telemedicine actually is something that we try to actually improve the service delivery for medicine using ICT. The whole notion of telemedicine actually is broader than what telemedicine is, but we have kept the word telemedicine because for the layman, people will understand that it's dealing with medicine. I think in a broader shell, we are looking at telehealth. Let me say, anything dealing with delivering of services in the hospital, in the public, to improve the outcome of healthcare.
So does this, Dr. Wong, involve talking to people and providing for the healthcare remotely? Is that what telemedicine is all about?
That is one aspect of it, actually. I mean, that's why, coming back to what I said just now, is that telemedicine is anything dealing with ICT. So it can be at the hospital level where you use ICT to improve the healthcare delivery at the hospital level, or you can actually also talking about public health where you improve the service outside the hospital, the improve the outcome, any effort dealing with telemedicine. I think that's the thing. In fact, what you say, the statement is very important, that I think increasingly what we are looking at is to deliver healthcare out of hospital, and ICT will be a crucial factor. Yeah.
Okay, Jeffrey, how involved is CREST in this area?
Well, we basically given the honor of actually driving the telemedicine aspirations for the country. As you know, IoT is getting to be very prominent, and essentially a couple of the agencies got together and try to decide how to drive IoT, essentially in the healthcare area for the country. They've basically asked CREST to drive all the initiatives.
Why CREST, though? Why do the industry people as well as the medical profession need a go-between?
Okay, yeah, well, that's a fair comment. We started early, I guess. Well, if you look at it, CREST really is more a bunch of technologists. We come from a community that has got about 40 years worth of history involving in electronics. However, the industry themselves say that we can do a lot more. And they've got together and they decided to form this organization called CREST as a catalyst to help innovate. So we got together and we say, yes, we want to participate. And that was in 2014. To which, when we were having all our retreats, we decided that we needed to have the medical practitioners participate. So when we managed to get the likes of Dr. Wong and his and people like him into the conversation, suddenly the solutioning, the innovations become really a lot more relevant. And when we bring it up to all those who are driving these kinds of initiative, it is quite apparent that CREST is ahead in terms
of... If I can just add on to that, I think, in fact, CREST is quite crucial. I think traditionally, if you look and see, not only healthcare in a lot of industry, we tend to work in silo, in our individual silo. The academicians in healthcare, for example, we do research and that's about it. And then the legislator will have legislation and hope other people to come in, fall in line, and then the industry as well. But what we think actually is that we need to have an ecosystem where we talk to each other. I think for the industry point of view especially, is that for the individual people to come in and search the academician, the legislator, would be actually quite difficult. I think, and that's where CREST becomes quite crucial to actually be the sort of accelerator to facilitate such what they call communications.
We're having a panel on telemedicine today on The Breakfast Grill, and joining us are Jeffrey Ibrahim, CEO of CREST, which is a collaborative research in engineering, science and technology. Also, Dr. Wong Chi Piao, lead of telemedicine cluster with the Monash University. Dr. Wong, you earlier defined the areas of what telemedicine is, and I want to focus on specifically remote telemedicine. Is this certified safe? I mean, are there any risk to either public health or public safety?
I think if you look and see, it depends on what intervention you are doing. I think if I could bring it back again to see what is remote monitoring and what we hope to achieve, is it prevention or interventions? I think intervention, then what you say is very relevant in the sense that you need to make sure that whatever you intervene has to be saved. I think, and for medicine, we traditionally are very cautious. So if you are doing any intervention, then it's actually quite important that you have to prove that your intervention is safe for the patient. So from that, I'm quite happy that if we were to roll any project, that has to be what I call vigorously scrutinized to make sure that it is safe. On prevention part, then there's a slightly different. That's actually you try to prevent an adverse event. So that's slightly different in the sense that it's not a safety, it's to pick up the incidents that's about to happen.
So this is where all the gadgets would come in, where
exactly.
We monitor patients for potential health disasters.
Exactly, like, for example, heart attack. I think at the moment now, I think if you look and see, most of people will not know that they have heart attack until they actually have the heart attack. So with the advent of all the wearables and all the sensors and so on, then there comes a point where we are challenged and say, can we use all this information to predict a heart attack? If we can predict heart attack, then we can potentially save life or decrease the damage that's done from the heart attack. And that is quite important. That brings to a very crucial issue about the healthcare sustainability. If you look and see the current healthcare, I think we are pretty much on a sort of disease-based system where you don't go and see a doctor until you fall sick. Most of us do that. And we don't sort of routine go and say, hey, doc, how am I doing? I feel fine today, but just to make sure that I'm all right. But no, we don't do that until we have got a heart attack. And as the population age, and with a lifestyle being more affluent and more unhealthy, unfortunately, then we are actually now settled with actually a lot of illness and the costs just go up and up and up. So I think, and heart attack, once you wait until the heart attack happens, you actually pretty much left with somebody who's injured. And so with the ICT, we should bring the paradigm to prevent it from happening. And that is where I think that the future of medicine is.
Jeffrey, how is this going to change the business model of hospital? I mean, have you guys done any research on the magnitude of cost saving? I know that you represent the E&E industry,
right.
But do you have any research done on this?
Well, yeah, essentially, you know, it's going to be a huge difference because, as Dr. Wang just shared with you, essentially the business is currently a doctor only benefits when somebody falls sick. And how do you basically pursue a business where it's the long tail, right? How do you put a wearable and prevent someone from getting sick and be able to extract, you know, a small amount of money conceptually on a monthly basis to ensure that that person prevents, the technique prevents that person from getting ill? So essentially, there's a lot of studies out there, and we're looking at some of them, but it's not been a big change in the global scale at the moment. But we hope to be, you know, one of the proponents of that.
We certainly want to come back with that issue, as well as coming up next, the question of whether Malaysia is ready for telemedicine. Today we are speaking to Dr. Wong Chi Piao, lead of telemedicine cluster with Monash University. Also Jeffrey Ibrahim, CEO of Collaborative Research in Engineering, Science and Technology, otherwise known as CREST. Today on The Breakfast Grill, we have Dr. Wong Chi Piao, lead of telemedicine cluster with Monash University, as well as Jeffrey Ibrahim, CEO of Collaborative Research in Engineering, Science and Technology. We're talking about how telemedicine is changing the economics and the landscape of healthcare. And we left off asking the question of how the business model of healthcare and hospitals would change. One area, perhaps Dr. Wong, you can elaborate on this, is the change in infrastructure in how hospitals are going to be built, because they can now become smaller while property costs go down, equipment costs can go up as well. What do you foresee in your crystal ball about the future of how hospitals are set up as a result of telemedicine?
Right. If I give you an example on what my vision of future hospital is, that future healthcare is, that I think future healthcare is actually at the end of a terminal. When you are not well, then essentially you actually will dial up and have a consultation. And from there, the routine workout will be done. And then when that actually been done and determined that you have to go to hospital, then only you go, instead of a current system where everybody flock to the hospital.
Okay, so you are referring to the preventive side of medicine, using gadgets and so on to establish the healthcare levels of the patients. But I just want to still continue to focus on the look and feel of hospitals. Jeffrey, do you think that there will be major disruptions in terms of what we know as today's hospitals or caring centres?
Yeah, I think eventually it will look completely different. It will happen in stages, I believe. Even today, we know of hospitals that basically, you know, they take information ahead of time. Because of all the different gadgets that's available to the consumers these days. So you can actually extract information from the consumers ahead of time, make appointments, ensure that you get the right person, even ensure that you have a place to park as you get to the hospital.
Exactly.
And have you know, a concierge.
So do you see any very radical disruption in the form of a no-frills hospital where it's a bare-bone type of structure?
I believe so. I believe that will, you know, eventually, you know, people will basically make appointments to the physicians that are relevant, and only the relevant physicians will go to that facility and deliver his service and move on to the next case.
You know, one of the most prominent characteristics of any hospital is outpatients, right? And according to publicly available records and according to some research done by Deloitte, up to 50% of the outpatient visits do not require specialist treatment. And also, these are problems, outpatient issues that are ripe to be exploited by, for example, e-visits, right? Is it a travesty, in your opinion, Dr. Wong, that so many people are forced to waste time and money in the current system?
I think the current system, actually, I wouldn't say they are forced, but that's a system that's actually ripe for change. I think that's been the traditional way how medicine has been run, I think, and that's where the disruption comes. I think e-visit, as you mentioned, I think is very important, because that is potentially you sieve out those that doesn't require any intervention.
Half of those visits.
Possibly even more. And I would say even go further, that is beyond the general practice, even a specialist, right? For example, I'm actually a pediatric neurologist, and some of my patients, I think once I've established their conditions and say prescribed medication, and a few visits subsequently will be just to check and say how things are and so on, whether it needs modification, they don't have to come to hospital. But currently the system is such that they have to come to hospital. And that is very inefficient.
Today we are speaking to Jeffrey Ibrahim, CEO of Collaborative Research in Engineering Science and Technology, or CREST. Also Dr. Wong Chee Piao, lead of Telemedicine Cluster with Monash University. And we're talking about how telemedicine is changing the medical landscape. There is a lot of pushback on telemedicine. A lot of people think that the data is not secure.
Right.
Sometimes internet connection is lacking.
Right.
So, Jeffrey, I just want to pose this to you, because you represent the tech sector in Malaysia.
Right.
Is the Malaysia tech sector ready for telemedicine?
Well, yeah, I think it is, in a sense that, you know, with progress in technologies such as smart devices, they can be sort of your intermediary. In terms of,
but you know, progress is not just enough, right? We have to ensure that the system is always on and always ready. Do we have that kind of quality?
Okay, again, I would think, you know, Dr. Wong's approach to this, in the sense that which area of telemedicine are you talking about? Are you talking about the telehealth side? Are you talking about, you know, the preventive or something that requires immediate attention? And obviously, those that require immediate attention needs to be always there and always reliably there before it can be, you know, embarked upon. In any case, I think there are opportunities in other different areas of where technology can play a role.
In fact, I would add on to that, actually, technology is not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people. It's the user of the technology.
What do you mean by that?
Now, you see, the technology is there and we make use of it. If you are not prepared, no matter what type of technology you have, people will not use it.
But we're talking about connection reliability here. And as Jeffrey mentioned, some illnesses are a lot more critical and will require that level of reliability.
That's true. I think that's why I say that whatever technology you have, you just make the best use appropriate to the disease you want to treat. So if you think that this is not safe to use a technology, then we use a conventional way. But then if you are not prepared to use, no matter what technology you have, nobody will use it. So I think we adapt, the technology will adapt to the need of the disease. So some of them, the technology will not be able to replace the conventional, and then let it be. But some of them definitely can. I'll give you an example. I think, in fact, the technology can, in fact, potentially improve the outcome of actually illness. Take that of rehabilitation. I think at the moment now, the traditional way is that we visit the occupational therapy rehabilitation physicians once a week. But actually, we know from our research it's every day. And how do we do that? In fact, we can use technology to deliver that every day from home. And one of the things is actually what I'm looking at is the video game. I think video game, we know that we thought that it's just one that game people play. But what we actually don't see is actually the strength of the video game. A video game is engaging, rewarding, interesting, and actually, well, motivating.
So and you're gamifying the situation, is it?
Exactly. And that's what I'm doing. One of my research is to use video game for rehabilitation.
On another level of readiness, is the medical profession working with the insurance industry to make sure that there is a high level of adoption with the insurers?
That is the people who accept it. That's come back to the people, the user. I think at the moment now, I think medicine, we are just beginning the first step. There's increasing need now to change the perception. In Malaysia, not quite there yet, but in America, we already have some company, insurance company, the financial provider, who begin to push technology, push preventive medicine using technology, and they are rewarding the customer so that there is actually a reward system to shift the paradigm.
We're speaking to Jeffrey Ibrahim of Crest, as well as Dr. Wong Chi Piao, lead of a telemedicine cluster with Monash University on telemedicine. There is also the issue, gentlemen, of competition, right? For example, Singapore has implemented a telemedicine policy under the National Telemedicine Guidelines under the Ministry of Health over there. Hospitals over there have adopted it, and even the universities like NUS have bought in to this ecosystem of telemedicine. So will there be extremely strong competition between the healthcare industries of Malaysia and not only Singapore, but the rest of the world as well?
I think it's a matter of cooperation. I think competition is always healthy. It keeps you on your toes. It basically pushes you to the, to
so,
the edge.
Jeffrey, are you on the side of the consumer or on the side of national policy? So if the patients can go anywhere they want, right, including anywhere in the world, right, not least Singapore or Thailand, how will this benefit the E&E industry?
I mean, our innovations should be used not just in the local scene, but globally, right? And that's how we should set the stage for ourselves from day one. And the marketplace in Malaysia is, I don't need to remind you that it's extremely small. So the way we should do it is, aim for the global market.
And I think that I'm not worried about the competition. Yeah. I think that from the knowledge and technology point, we are there. Malaysia is quite there. I think we are actually hampered by the mode, the place we are now. I think, for example, if you look at the industry, I think it's manufacturing-based, but we know that knowledge-based is what we need to be.
Absolutely.
And that's the one that Crest is now actually going towards. Now, from the patient point of view, I think Malaysia, in fact, is actually in a very strong position. Because if you look and see Singapore represents the extreme end of the well-to-do nation, a small nation where everything can be connected by wire. But the world is not like this. The world is the other extreme where, I think, as what Jeffrey said, there will be the underdeveloped country where there's short of physicians. And Malaysia is somewhere right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So we have straddled in two ends. And so we actually, if we do it well, then our model can be exported worldwide in any circumstances.
And what about the doctors? Are they ready for this kind of competition where patients can go anywhere in the world?
I think the doctors, there will be some who will refuse to change traditionally, but I think that they will have to adapt. I think if you look carefully at American system, the Singapore system, they are changing. and we have to change. Eventually, I think it's survival of the fittest.
You know, you hear all these stories of people going overseas to get medical attention. And this would be made, would you think that this is going to be made a lot easier by telemedicine, and by extension, would it render a lot of Malaysian physicians and doctors redundant?
No, I don't think so. I think it will make a lot of inefficient doctor redundant. That's how I put it. If you are good, people come to you. In fact, telemedicine possibly facilitated that transition.
You know, Julian, we're also doing very well in health tourism, right? So people are coming to Malaysia because our practice is affordable to some people. So they would fly in, they would stay a couple of months, have their procedure, and have a holiday. And we should essentially do something like that with telemedicine as well.
I think the technology...
Well, with telemedicine, you can approach that remotely, and therefore you would not really need tourism for that.
No, yeah, but you can fly them in as and when required for the actual, you know...
As a result of the indicators given out by the gadgets, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. can you say something about 3D printing? Because as I understand it, the medical profession and the medical industry is one of the biggest users of 3D printing.
Yeah, well...
And actually how this would tie up with telemedicine.
Yeah, well, conceptually, you know, one day, someday in the future, you will be able to produce, you know, body parts.
Remotely?
Remotely, perhaps, yeah, using models, computer models, and produce them for, you know, for use.
With a lot of precision, right?
Yes. And already there's some research that indicates that is definitely going to happen. I think they've already got some indications that, you know, they've actually produced, you know, things like the ear and so on. I don't know if you've heard anything, Dr. Wong. So these are things that are already, you know, progressing. So I don't know how far they can go with different parts of the body, but you know, this is definitely a trend that we're already seeing people that wants to do that in Malaysia.
Dr. Wan, how soon will we see things like remote surgery?
Right. I think that you are still actually, I'm sorry about that, actually you're stuck in the disease mode, I think. I think what I'm looking at, the business of the future in telemedicine is about prevention, about detecting disease before it becomes a disease, or detect early stage and return to health. I think that's where actually the business, so to speak, is there, I think. And telemedicine potentially will facilitate that paradigm shift, I think. Now, coming back for the question that you say about the surgery and so on, it will be safe. The reason being that I think if you compare a humans, I think we are affected by a lot of factors. For example, if I'm a surgeon, if I'm tired, then my mind don't think well. Whereas if you do a remote surgery using computer, the computer is always functioning.
Robots.
They process all the information at one go at the same speed all the time. So if you look and see, it will be. I think it's a question actually say how you want to do it. So the technology is not an issue. It's how we use the technology.
Thank you for joining us. And I've been speaking to Jeffrey Ibrahim, CEO of Collaborative Research in Engineering, Science and Technology, otherwise known as CREST, and also Dr. Wong Chi Piao, lead of telemedicine cluster with Monash University. We've been speaking about the business and economic landscape for telemedicine in Malaysia. I'm Julian Ng for BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.